We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. I am still up in New York City, holding it down at the WFAN studios. Appreciate folks from the fan being hospitable to me. They let me use their toaster this morning. B-Mitch holding it down in the Navy Yard studios. I think my man Jeff is not here, but Landfill is here. Good morning, Landini. How do you do?
I'm good.
That was a very delayed, I'm good. You all right?
No, I think you're delayed, bro.
Maybe. Now, I'm on a
that
good...
That was a little dry and bland, Landfill. You got to liven the hell up.
Yeah, time to liven
Come
the
on,
hell
man.
Up,
it's
Landfill.
It's Tuesday, man. It's terrific Tuesday. Let's go.
Nah, Tuesday sucks.
No, it don't.
Why does Tuesday suck?
Because it's so early in the week.
Landfill,
there's
you're
so
crazy.
Much time till the weekend.
Man, you're so damn full of it.
B, I got to tell you this... New York is buzzing, man. It was pretty fun. I didn't go to that Knicks game last night, but went out to dinner with all the Cavs guys.
I watched it.
It was wild.
Brother.
And that game, I didn't stay up for the end of the Nuggets game, but I watched a lot of that. Did you watch that one?
I watched a good bit of it until the last heel into Gettysburg got me last night.
Finally fell asleep, huh?
Dude, listen, I was sitting up there trying to hold my eyes open. Toothpicks wouldn't even work.
Were you on the couch or did you make it upstairs?
I was on the recliner looking at TV, and then all of a sudden, you know when you wake up and you can't even lift your head?
Yeah.
That's how I was feeling.
Yeah, that'll get you, man.
And for anybody coming with any damn jokes, no, my head's not that heavy. I can't lift my head. Landfill, shut up.
Multiple things can be true at once, B.
Hey, you
can be really tired and your head be really big.
Hey, calm it down now. Calm it down.
Dude, so it was a lot of fun last night being in the city before and after that Knicks game.
Wait. Did you say being or peeing in the city?
Being with
okay,
a B.
Okay, buh, it didn't buh. Sound like that.
I know that my B's and my P's pop, but I said being. I mean, if you want to be technical, I also did pee in the city, but I meant being in the city.
Okay, gotcha.
It was just the vibe around the Garden was pretty electric. Joe B set up a really cool, fun dinner, and here in Locker,
hang out with the legends,
dude. Locker was telling old hockey stories, which are just incredible. it was a lot of fun, and then, you know, we watched the end of that Knicks game, watched the end of Carolina Islanders. I was with all the hockey guys, so they wanted to watch the hockey. So we found a bar that had a bunch of different games. And then, B, I bet I walked more yesterday than I have in a long time. Because it's one thing I've realized, is like, lazy, having to get to and from a lot of places, like, taking a taxi is kind of worthless.
Yeah.
You're better off just
why
walking.
Why sit in a taxi for hours upon hours?
Right.
Jump in it, just walk, and you'll get there a lot sooner.
Yeah. You know what was really cool is I got to go up to the NFL headquarters yesterday.
Oh, cool.
And just meet with some of the guys I know that work for the league, and they just kind of showed me around. You walk in, and it's like there's lots of cool office lobbies in the world, mm-hmm. right? But, like, it's the NFL, so there's just the Lombardi Trophy, and then this wall of every Super Bowl ring ever.
Yeah.
And it was pretty neat to see. The evolution of the Super Bowl rings went from kind of just like, you know anybody that has like a high school or a college, like their class ring?
Yeah.
Like, you know the size of that? Like, it's just kind of a normally sized ring. Mm-hmm. Like, the first 10 or so Super Bowls were all that size ring. And you're talking, you know, late 60s, early 70s, whatever. And then they just start to jump in size. And the size of them now is just garish. Like, the Patriots, now granted, they won six of them. So each time you got to make it bigger and better. But the last Patriots ring is like, ridiculous. I mean, it's probably the size of like a child's fist. Like, yeah. It is so big.
Because you're trying to put so much on it. And I think the people that really changed the whole game were the Warriors when they won it. Because they had the one you could screw the top off and open it up, and it's stuff inside the damn ring.
Right, that's true.
That's when it changed right there, because everybody's like, oh, wow, they just blew our stuff off the map.
Right. That's, you know what? Yeah, because it had like a secret compartment or something, right?
Yeah.
So it was neat walking around there, and as I was at the NFL offices, was like right when the Zach Wilson trade news emerged. And I just,
that couldn't have been that big.
No, it wasn't like a, something that everybody paid
people probably
attention.
Like, oh, good, bye.
Right.
Hell with
but
you.
I feel like, listen, Caps have a huge game tonight. They've got to be better on the power play. I think Ovi was really frustrated by his own performance the other night. I think you'll see a kind of pissed off Ovi tonight, which I think is good news for Caps fans. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk to Craig Lachlan at 11. We'll talk to Barstool Nate at noon. Like, we will have all of your Caps coverage. I got to figure out the time for Locker. but, B, you know, it's funny being here. Everybody's wearing Rangers gear for this game tonight. but the Zach Wilson trade gave me, like, a little bit of pause because I was listening to Pardon My Take this morning on the subway. And they had Todd McShay on, and Todd McShay went hard in his evaluation of Jaden Daniels versus Drake May. And we're going to play that audio later in the program. But it wasn't very long ago that Zach Wilson was at BYU and looked like he could be a star, right? Like, when Zach Wilson came out of BYU, I mean, that year, it was like, of course this guy's going to go number two overall. And whatever you thought of the evaluation process or whatever, I mean, this was only 3 years ago, B.
Yeah.
And he was the number two overall pick, and he just got traded for a 6th for 7th conditional swap that was basically a salary dump. Let's start over for the Jets.
And you got to also look at the fact, now let's be real. That kid went into a situation where it was basically he had no support. And within, what, a year, they brought in Aaron Rodgers. So if his confidence was shook any, it was completely destroyed once Aaron Rodgers came in. Because you know Aaron Rodgers don't help young quarterbacks.
No.
So when you get drafted, you go there and you're like, damn, we have nothing, and they're not helping me. And then they bring in another guy, and the owner like, I want Aaron Rodgers. To hell with what the coach thinks. It was destroyed. So I think a lot of times the way that the situation they fall in is what kills some of these guys. Because listen, man, to go from college to the pros is hard. Okay, especially at that position. And if you don't have any support and backing, it's virtually impossible.
Totally. And if you look at the draft.
And picks, I didn't like him when he was coming out of college, but still, I think if he had better support, he would have fared a lot better than what the hell he did.
Well, I also think that was a COVID year, and people can say what they want. There's no way teams got to do the level of research on the people, like the person research that they would in a normal year. Like, and I think Wilson's problem is that he just thinks he can make plays that aren't there at this point, like the actual football problem. But it seems like he might be kind of a punk too. And I wonder and you know what? If you're good enough, you can be a punk. Like, that's just the world, right?
Yeah.
But I think in a non-COVID year where scouts and evaluators really get to dig into everything, I think some of that may have emerged.
But a little bit of what happened with him is this, Jay. That kid was around much longer than his last year at BYU. And his previous years at BYU wasn't as outstanding as how he was his last year. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And we can say what we want, but when BYU plays against people, BYU normally has young adults playing against college students.
Right.
A lot of dudes on BYU's football team are 22 and above. Okay? And that makes a world of difference, especially when your conference is not that damn tough. So that way he looked against that competition, they got to start taking some of that stuff into consideration.
Yeah, I mean, his biggest game, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I feel like the biggest performance, remember the famous Catholics versus Convicts when Notre Dame played Miami, I think?
Mm-hmm.
Which in hindsight is kind of a messed up name for a bowl game, but whatever.
It wasn't a name of the bowl game. It was just that's what they would call it.
It was the nickname for that game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because, you know how that goes. Right. Can't get a brother's no positive name. Got to be something negative.
Well, do you remember the name? So that COVID year was so screwed up, especially the NFL did a really good job managing the COVID year. College football was a zoo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, like, games were getting canceled all the time, and BYU, I don't know if it was BYU or if it was Coastal Carolina, but one of those two was like, we'll play anybody, anywhere, anytime. And so they ended up playing, and the game, they were calling it Mormons versus Mullets because it was BYU versus Myrtle Beach, basically. And I remember the hype around that game was so significant, and I feel like they played it, you know how the COVID year was, like they probably played it on Wednesday
Lanford,
afternoon.
Did you go in that game? Lanford said he was in front row seat, man.
It was awesome.
Do you remember that, Lanville?
Yeah, Coastal Carolina, they got cheated that year.
They did, but that seemed
they were
like
playing
the
grown-ass men.
No, they got screwed out of a place in the playoffs, so Ohio State that played like four games could get in. It was complete bogus.
But, dude, in that game where the way I remember it was the biggest game of the year for BYU – they got worked, and Wilson was eh.
I sometimes say, man, when they played talent that were not even from the top conferences, they normally got worked.
Like, dude, I'm just saying, I think I don't know exactly what my point is, which is frequently the case.
You know what
with
your
me.
Point is? They went the Mike Mamula effect was working when
you love
when
Mike
Wilson
Mamula.
Came. Bruh, a dude that was not even touted to go in the second round. Goes and run a 4.59 and goes to the first round, and he had how many sacks in his whole career? Hell, you probably had more than him.
I'll look it up.
He had about 6 or 7, I think.
He got that first round money though.
He sure in the hell did that.
Was it Boston College? He was.
Yes,
from?
He was from Boston College.
I'd love to know. I remember. I mean, this was back when Sports Illustrated dominated. I read it every week, cover to cover, and they had this huge feature on Mike Mamula after the combine. I'd love to find, like, the PR or agency that repped him, that got him into Sports Illustrated, that probably got him into the first round.
But, you know,
seventh overall, B.
We hate saying this, but you know what? There's a lot of truth in it, and still today. A lot of people's assessments of guys is not just the numbers and what they see. It's because I like him.
Yeah.
A lot of it still goes into that today, you know? Like, we heard one guy yesterday that you played some stuff from. He sure as hell sounded like he liked Jaden Daniels more than he does Drake May. But he sure as hell pushing Drake May. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, it's like.
Oh, the McShay? That was Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
That we read.
The way you feel about a person sometimes can take you and make you say some things and make you express things that probably aren't really 100% true.
Yeah.
But. The way he explained it, if you put that in front of a million people, I guarantee you 750,000 or more are going to say he likes Jaden Daniels more. But that's not what he says. it pops in there.
When you see Zach Wilson get traded like this for a ham sandwich, I just think it's a good reminder for all of us as we approach Thursday night's draft that, like, These things miss all the time. These things miss all the time. And if you remember, that draft is actually when Adam Peters and the Niners traded up to number 3 to take Trey Lance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, Trevor Lawrence was the lock of that draft.
Trey Lance played how much college football?
Dude, Trey Lance, I think with the COVID year, played one game in 18 months or something.
See, in essence, what I'm trying to ask is this. The knock on Jaden Daniels is that he's a little older and he played a lot of football. Sounds very stupid to be a knock, right?
Yeah.
When we look at Trey Lance, garbage. Wilson has been garbage. And most of them play small amounts of college football, right?
Right.
See, I've always felt like if I have a guy who's been ran through the gamut, okay, for multiple years, he's learned some stuff if he came out the other end being successful. But the guy that normally, what happens every time a guy comes off the bench and goes into a game? He looks damn good, don't he? And when that team has a week to prepare for him, the next time he looks like, okay, I see why he was on the bench. So we still, most of us still, radio, TV, people that break down stuff, we still say, oh, wow, he's young. He could grow into it. Sometimes growing into it mean that you got to go through some stuff. And a lot of time when I'm learning about young folks today, once they go through some stuff, they normally stuck. They can't keep digging like the old school used to do. But when you find a guy that's young with an old school mindset, be a bad SOB for you right there.
You know, if you're looking for a woman in your life, you want to get married, settle down, older and a lot of experience might not be exactly what you're looking for. But a quarterback that we're calling older because he's 23?
Well, hell, that might be better, JP, because today what happens is if you make one mistake, they put you on social media and then you destroy it the rest of your life.
That's true.
So you might want the older one that's going to at least talk to you about it.
This narrative has emerged that I find just wildly incorrect, that, like, May is the upside pick and Daniels is, like, the safer pick. And I just, like, calling him the safer pick implies that he's not as good or something. And I think I've said this repeatedly. He's 23. He'll turn 24 in December. I don't care.
Like, yeah, my question would be,
ideally, he plays till he's 38, you know? Like,
my question would be this, though, Jay. Can you look at it? Why can't people look at a guy, instead of saying upside, when you look at May, why did he not reach his potential or get farther along? You know, I would ask that question sometimes too. You know, just to be a pessimist, but guess what? I can find out another answer. Because right now, the people that want to promote him don't ask that question. Why is it that he missed the easy stuff? Just like when our 50-50 came here, remember that? The receiver. Why did he always drop the easy ones, but he didn't drop the hard ones? Because if you drop the easy ones consistently, you're not going to be in the league very long. Because nobody's going to keep waiting for you to have the spectacular catch if you keep dropping the ones that are very simple.
Sure. I'm looking at this from Pete Prisco, and McShay said this too, that we're caught up in the Daniels versus May debate in our city, right? And it's important because that's the second overall pick. Mm-hmm. Where are they going to go at number 2, Daniels versus May? We'll hear this from McShay later, but I was reading something from Pete Prisco, and listen, Prisco is...
He messes with Washington a lot.
Provocative, yeah, I would say.
Especially when he talks about Washington.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's kind of like that around the whole league. Like, he's not scared to share his opinions. Like, I've seen the people he has dinner with at the Combine and in Indy. Like, he is well-sourced. Like, he has real relationships with real decision-makers around the league. Prisco says it's not a debate about Daniels versus May. The debate is Daniels versus Caleb Williams.
See, I was about to ask you this. If Chicago hadn't screwed up so much, would we automatically assume that Caleb was going there? Because I think Chicago's situation makes them have to just go at Caleb quickly. And I think once that got started, I think they're stuck in that. But the question is Jalen as good? Because I think he's faster than Caleb. Now, I don't know. Caleb is elusive and things like that. Jalen is too. Caleb hadn't shown that he could sit in the pocket and do a lot. Jaden has. But Caleb is unbelievable outside of the pocket. So when you start looking at all the things, it comes down to what do you actually look for? But if since we've already assumed that Chicago is going to take him, I think it would be a big, big mix-up tomorrow if they were to say, oh, number one pick, Jaden Daniels.
Oh, yeah.
It would screw the whole draft up.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen. I do think you're kind of right. Maybe it was because of the leverage Caleb had in this situation that it was like Chicago had to profess their love to him right away.
Mm-hmm.
This Pete Prisco mock, it's not a mock draft. He's just saying what he thinks should happen, not what will happen. Okay. There's a lot of really interesting stuff here, but Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams in the who's the best player, you're going to hear a little bit of that in the void of real information. Information emerges one way or another. Nobody go anywhere. We're just getting warmed up. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Emotion. I can't tell if Landfill's playing the music quiet or if my connection is quiet, but I like that song. Okay. So I wanted to kind of continue on this Pete Prisco thing just because it's interesting. He's not saying, like, who should go where. He's saying what he believes and the conversations he's had with people where things would land. And he says Jaden Daniels should go ahead of Caleb Williams.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to happen. But you imagine if Caleb landed it too and came back to D.C.?
Yeah, it could. But the whole thing about it is, I mean, we don't know. If it were to happen, guess what? If it were to happen like that, I'll be shocked. But I'll say more of cool. People really looked at stuff instead of just falling into something. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we'll see. But the ultimate thing is the assumption has been that the whole time. And I think when you assume that, it's a natural tendency to compare the next two instead of ever comparing the other. the one of them with the first one, you know? So the assumption has always been that ever since Caleb won the Heisman, we've been like, oh, he's going number one. And I think we got stuck in that. Because I didn't think nobody else was going to show up and have a season that was as good as his when he won the Heisman.
Right.
You know, and he did in a tougher division.
So of Drake May, Prisco writes, I prefer May over the remaining quarterbacks, even if he has some mechanical flaws that need fixing. This is after Daniels and then Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I prefer May over the remaining quarterbacks, even if he has some mechanical flaws that need fixing. The Patriots have to address quarterbacks, so this would work. I do think there's a real chance Drake goes three to New England. But there was also something interesting that the J.J. McCarthy stuff, where do you land on J.J.B.? You kind of think it's...
Listen, man, the thing about it is, where does he go? Does he go somewhere where he has to go in there and just take over and carry a team, or does he go somewhere with a legitimate running game where he can still do what he did in college? Because one thing he proved to you, if that's his system, he's damn good at it. When he had to just show up in spurts instead of saying, no, I'm carrying the team from start to finish. He did that. He passed that with flying colors. So I don't know how good he is being the lead dog, like where he got to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game. I don't know how good he is with that. Nobody has seen it. So to make the assumption that he can naturally just do it and carry him, that would be asinine to me. So he has to be put in the right position, right situation.
Yeah. It's interesting. If you compare McCarthy, the last two seasons, he's thrown, on average, 325 attempts.
Mm-hmm.
Which is almost the exact same Jaden had last year.
But let me hit you with something here, though. If he were to go to a team and they throwing that thing 500 times, what do we say about Sam? Looked like his arm got tired after a while, didn't it?
Yeah, and his body.
So you begin to wonder if a guy that has never done that, can he do it? Like you hear me, I am on my soapbox all the time with the way guys prepare for football this year, at this day and age, where nobody ever goes into the third quarter. How the hell do they know they're going to be able to do it when the season starts? And we watch several people, when the season starts, they look awful in the second half of the first two games because they had nothing all preseason. So it's like when I see people, I don't know what he can do because I haven't seen him put in that situation. But what I've seen him do, the situation he's been put at, he's damn good at it.
Yeah. So it's crazy just these numbers. JJ, this past year, they went 15-0, won the Natty. So consider, because they were in the Natty, they probably played a lot more games.
Mm-hmm.
Daniels played 12 games, so JJ got three extra games. But their stat line, this is pretty remarkable. Daniels completed 236 passes on 327 attempts, 72% completion. Which
in
is
12
just,
games.
In 12 games. It's just asinine. But McCarthy, 240 for 332, 72% completion. It's crazy that it's almost identical completion rates, right?
Mm-hmm.
McCarthy, in 15 games, had 2,991 passing yards. Daniels, in 12, had 3,812, almost another 1,000 yards passing.
That's what I'm saying.
In three fewer games.
When you look at McCarthy, he was more in a ball control style offense. And Jaden was put in an offense where his arm had to carry some things. So when you like people would have a conversation with you and only talk about his percentages, okay? Which leaves out a lot. It leaves out you played three more games and this guy got 800-900 yards more than you. You played in three more games. He has way more touchdowns than you. And people, when you look in college and you have a run. Whenever there's a run offense that leads in college, you have a lot of wide open people because they're trying to stop the run.
Right.
And still, your yards weren't big because you remember that time when you made the comment about Bro Nix, you said he threw a lot of balls at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
A lot of balls that J.J. McCarthy threw were ball control, medium. It wasn't no stuff down the field per se, consistently.
Sure. It's interesting. I like McCarthy. I think he actually has a lot more to offer than we've seen because of the way that Michigan offense was structured. But somebody you and I both know all week has been texting me like, I don't understand what this is with McCarthy. And it does stand out that in Michigan's, I don't want to say their biggest game because clearly they eventually went to the playoffs and the Natty and everything. But in their biggest game to that point, when they were on the road against Penn State and they were undefeated and they really hadn't been tested much, that was the big knock on Michigan to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this was their only true, really high-quality road win. They did beat my Turtles at Bird Stadium, but I don't know that people would call that a high-quality road win. But against Penn State, which was by far the most fierce crowd they faced, everything, he threw eight passes and nothing in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're able to run the ball. That's terrific.
But yeah, it's true. But when you run the ball like that, and Later on, the minds, you got that certain group of people who go, he's a winning quarterback. If you threw 8 passes and you just turn back and hand the ball off, did you really carry that game? Because remember in the last, when Peyton went to the Super Bowl in Denver?
Yeah.
Did Peyton carry that team?
No.
And I think
people forget he got benched that year for Brock Osweiler.
That's what I'm trying to say. So, listen, man.
Von Miller carried that team.
We don't know what he can become. But, like, I'm with you. I think he has more to offer than we've seen. But then again, when more get thrown on him, will he be as comfortable?
Yeah, I mean, they're interesting questions. He was really good against Bama in the college football playoff at the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But he also almost threw a pick on the first play of the game. I think it was ruled an INT, and then replay reviewed it, and the guy's foot came out. Either the kid didn't hold on to it. It was overturned. But his first play of the game was an INT because he tested a guy that's going to be a pro corner and lost.
But I
don't know. I think one thing that's interesting here is Prisco has – so this is Prisco's what teams should do. Not saying what they will do, just what they should do. He says Daniels 1, Williams 2. So that's already a major shakeup. Drake May goes 3. Then he's got Neighbors ahead of Harrison. Neighbors, Harrison, Adunze, Joe Alt at 7. That sure looks like if Alt is there at 7, the Titans are running to the window and not even waiting. And I believe.
Nah, they got to wait to leave. Make sure they wait.
That's true, just for the television product.
Yeah, yeah.
But I believe it's Brian Callahan coaching the Titans now, and his father is Bill Callahan.
Oh, yeah. And you know what they like to do? Run the football.
Well, and they like big old linemen. They very much value the trenches. So I think you could see that happening pretty quick.
They don't mind going 50 runs to 10 passes. It'd be good for them.
Dallas Turner is your first defensive player off the board at 8. This, I think, is interesting. Now, again, this is Pete Prisco doing his own thing. He has Chop Robinson going top 10, and there's some debate if Chop is a first-rounder. He wrote of Chop, the Penn State pass rusher. After watching more tape on Robinson, I think he could end up being the best pure rusher in this draft. He has that explosive step and bend. He has the best of those traits in this class. Brock Bowers at 10 to the Jets. That Alt at 7 to the Titans and then Bowers at 10 to the Jets seem like those two things are actually going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is basically making that pick. He wants a tight end, and they're going to get him one. Then you've got the run of 11, 12, 13, where it's Vikings, Broncos, Raiders, all of whom need quarterbacks. I think it'll be really interesting. And Prisco says at 11, it's going to be Penix. And if you're just drafting a quarterback based on the tape, it's got to be Penix.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, like I'll say this. I know the injuries scare people. But after the injuries, he put up those numbers last year.
Yeah.
So what I was talking about earlier, being battle-tested and going through some ish, he's going through some ish.
A lot of it.
Yeah. And still came out on the other side. Damn good.
Craig Lachlan, Washington Capitals, will join us live from Caps practice coming up at 11. Nobody go anywhere. Beastie Boys always on vacation. Landini, I don't know if I need to talk to somebody here or you, but I need a little more audio. What I wanted to do now, speaking of audio, is much was made. It's almost funny to me, B, how like, last week, the sky was falling, and, you know, everybody was making fun of the Commanders for going to Topgolf, and Jaden Daniels didn't want to be here, and they might have to get Mark Rippon out of retirement, and apparently there was an earthquake in Ashburn, and the ground might crater. Like, last week was, like, the end of the world, and this week everything's cool. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, but that's how it goes, man. That's what I say. I make sure I do not let my emotions flow with everybody else's because I would lose my damn mind.
I'm aware. So it was funny. Kevin Clark does a podcast. Used to be with The Ringer, now he's with Omaha Productions, kind of ESPN. And he talked to Drake May about the Topgolf thing. And kind of what Adam Peters said last week, like, Peters was like, yeah, it was cool. It was just a way to let the guys relax. And then the next day, we did all of our meetings and all of the normal stuff. Mm-hmm. Somehow, them actually having all the meetings got completely ignored during the Topgolf saga.
But you bring in a lot of people. You need to entertain them some way or another. And what's the easiest way?
Well, dude, you got to feed them regardless, right? And you're going to have so you're doing a group visit, so you're going to need some sort of, like,
entertainment.
Space. Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess they could have just put them in the cafeteria at the facility, and maybe that's where they ate. I don't know. I think they ate at Topgolf, but I think that was such. Drake May was basically like, "Yeah, it was fun. I hit the ball pretty well." He said McCarthy hit the ball pretty well too. Like and then they all had meetings the next day. I just think it was a very, very much ado about nothing.
Because no one ever discussed. You kept mentioning it that they had meetings as well, and they met with them, but nobody else was saying it. Everybody just tried to make fun of the Topgolf thing,
right.
And it just shows you, as much as we all consider ourselves adults, what we do, we just basically go out there and we pitter-patter around the most immature, kid-like stuff, and most people on Instagram, that's what entertains them. So that's why I care not to do it as
all right.
much.
I think we have the clip. Drake May talking with Kevin Clark about the Topgolf draft party.
How did you view the Commander's Topgolf? That whole thing?
I actually thought it was one of the cool events I've been on. I think, you know, we always kind of these different places you go and see, kind of a steak dinner spot, and you know, just you're surrounded with, you know, the head coach and GM and quarterback coaches, and then the Commanders took an approach of all of us being together and seeing how we interact and. I'm getting a chance to swing the golf club a little bit. I enjoyed it, you know, be around the other guys. You know, got to meet a lot of different guys throughout the process, and a lot of, you know, guys I saw in high school recruiting. I remember Amarius Mims.
Yeah.
I tried to get him committed to Alabama when I was committed there in high school. Again, full circle. I know JJ well, and seeing Jaden and those guys was, you know, I think it was a really cool experience for me. I think you know, we all got our separate time with the coaches when we need to. It's not like we didn't do any of that. But Topgolf was just a way for us to get out and do something fun the evening before.
Were you the best golfer there?
I like to say I was. I think I had the best swing, so I think I was hitting it pretty good. So, but JJ McCarthy was hitting it well as well.
Yeah, okay, good.
Paul was hitting it well. The aisle tied in. He was hitting it pretty good. So,
but you thought it was a good different experience to kind of meet
different.
The guys.
Yeah, they changed it up. I thought it was pretty sweet.
So the question I would ask is: all those people that love Drake, do you change your mind just a little bit? That's what I said last week, that they wanted to get them in a different setting to just see them interact, you know? And the main thing was the meetings the next day, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, what you want to do, let them go to the hotel and just sit around? Because if they just sit around the hotel, they're going to end up doing something. Probably one of them will do something crazy. But we got something, we're going to entertain you a little bit, let y'all. And I guarantee you, some of the juices begin to flow. Those competitive juices, when they were swinging those clubs, that began to flow too.
Sure. I mean, a number of things I heard there was, dude, all of these meetings are prospect flies into town, they go for a steak. Like, that's what they do. And whether it's Morton's or Capital Grill or Nick and Sam's in Dallas, like, I love steak and I love steakhouses. But you've been to one, you kind of been to them all. You know, like, they're all.
When you go to those dinners sometimes, they get to be a little tedious.
Right.
You know?
And this was very different. And I think, I don't know that it did or didn't have value, right? Like, were they really scouting these guys as they interacted with each other? Or was it just a way to get everybody there, then get them to the hotel before the meetings the next day? Like, I don't know. I know it didn't hurt their process. I know that if Jaden Daniels' agent was upset about anything, it was probably, I don't think he cared that they took him to Topgolf. I think he cared that they're not just like immediately professing their love that to Daniels. He's the number two pick. There's no question about it. That's what the agent wants, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't specific to Topgolf. It was that there were other quarterbacks there. The other two things I heard there that I'm quite interested in is Drake May mentioned the Iowa tight end, Eric All, was there. I believe he said, you know, the Iowa guy All was hitting it pretty well. Eric All was a major prospect tight end. These Iowa tight ends tend to kill it.
Yep.
And he's had a lot of injuries, right? Mm. And I think he had a back injury. Well,
if he's swinging the club, well,
if he's swinging the club, be
better. Hey, could that be the reason that they really brought him all in here just to see if Eric All back is good?
You imagine if that was it?
Hey, and if they saw it, they get him, and he goes on to play a 10-year. Hey, good.
Right. The other thing, Drake May just gave us all sorts of nuggets. He said the big tackle out of Georgia, the guy I want them to trade up for, mm-hmm. Amarius Mims. Now, he is super raw. I don't know that he can start right away because he started like 9 college games, but he's 6'7", 340. There's a lot to like.
Big brother right there, man.
He said Mims was there, and he was joking around with him that he was trying to recruit him back to the Bama days. Like, I think there's some interesting stuff going on. I think you and I often talk about this, that a lot of, I think, fans don't realize how small the football world is.
Big-ass fraternity.
Right.
All it is. Well, it's a much smaller fraternity. Because, you know, when you got the regular fraternity, you got a lot more members. But this one here, when you get into this football thing, it's small. And they know people. And then when you get together, you want to find out how things have been for guys. You know, I try my best to talk based off of experience when I'm doing that stuff and talking about those things. But nobody cares to hear that. They want to just tell you what their thoughts are. And a lot of times the question is, where did you derive those thoughts from? How did you derive them? Because you like somebody or you don't like somebody, that's where you derive what you don't like. But the people that went through it didn't have a problem with it.
Right. The guys that were there enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. The guys that are just lobbing grenades from the sideline thought it was one of the dumbest things they'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. So, things I'm prepared to close the book on, Brian. Emoji Gate, Top Golf Draft Party. Are you also prepared to close the book?
Oh, I'm done with him.
The book is closed.
I have already moved on, son.
Caps Hockey tonight, game 2, first round series against the New York Rangers, helping us make sense of what Washington needs to do to get a dub. The Locker, Craig Laughlin joins us next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.